Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, I am going to be talking about how things catch on, or if you will, become contagious. Now, my brother recently sent me a link to view something he thought was really interesting and a good topic for this show. And he was right. Now, he's not often right because he is my brother. However, in this case, he was. It was a video from YouTube channel called Fight Mediocrity and with a tagline, Big Ideas for Better Life. Now, what's interesting, there's over 1 million subscribers, exactly 1 million at the time I did this, 1,013,055, and now with me, 1,013,056. I encourage you to check it out. The topics were such as why reading a business book will ruin your life, why you need to know how to be happy, and 5 ways to test if your business idea sucks. Now, I have to state, this is not an endorsement. I have not watched them all. I'm sure some are better than others, but I feel they are simple and easy to follow. And today, the topics for discussion is based on a book called Contagious by Jonah Berger, and was published in 2013. Jonah is a professor at the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania and is a world-renowned expert on word-of-mouth, social influence, consumer behavior, and how products, ideas, and behaviors catch on. He has a dozen articles on the topic, academic journals. Again, he's a teacher, a highly rated online course. Popular accounts often appear in places like New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Harvard Business Review. Berger is a best-selling author of multiple books, including this one, Contagious, Why Things Catch On. 100,000 copies are in print in over 30 languages, and Invisible Influence, The Hidden Force That Shapes Behavior. I think I've plugged him plenty, and let's get into this book because I think it's really fascinating. Now, the intro of the book talks about how things catch on or become contagious, really how things become popular. So a quick summary of the topics that we're going to talk about today. One is social currency. Two, triggers. How are you reminded about a product? Emotion. How do you connect emotionally and to really drive sharing? Public. What everybody else is doing and what they're seeing. Practical value, is it really helpful to what you're doing? And stories, of course, how do you relate a cool story, an idea, and a product in a very cool story? But let's start with social currency. Now, there's a place in Philly called Barclay Prime, and their cheesesteak cost $100. You heard me, $100. Yet I can go down to another local cheese steak place and buy one for $5. So Barclay Prime has really done something very successful. And of course, there are many factors as to why one would want to buy a $100 cheese steak and also why they would want to promote it. And that's where social currency comes in. The idea then of social currency is that people want to share whatever makes them look good, looks cool, people can relate to. So if anything makes you look good, smart, cool, then you're more likely to share it. So let's say you're in Philly and you get a regular cheesesteak for $5. That's probably not something you're going to brag about or share on social media. But imagine if you go out for dinner, you get a $100 cheesesteak. That's probably something you're going to want to share and tell your friends. So now, most people are probably thinking, I want to share a $100 cheesesteak. And you would be right. I would do it. 2 summers ago, I had the privilege of being in Venice, Italy, and I ate at a place that I was ashamed and embarrassed to actually share. It was the most expensive lunch I've ever had in my entire life. I shared 2 bellinis, a glass of wine, and a crab salad. And at $165, folks, it was the number one most expensive lunch I've ever had in my entire life. I did not share that out, yet here I am telling you today about that incident. So the first principle then of social currency is the idea here that you're sharing something, an idea or a product that makes you look good, cool, and things that want to drive you to want to share that with other people. Now, back in 2012, I worked for a company called Phase One Communications, and we actually conducted a study on social media engagement. Because really, it's about engagement. It's about getting people to engage with what you're doing. The goal was to determine what drives engagement with consumers and a brand versus likes and shares. So the social media, of course, is really needs to be part of any integrated program today if you're working on a marketing campaign. But the drive, the actual thing is you want customers to engage with what you're doing, not just doing those shares and likes as I talked about. So the question that we and other businesses wanted to know was what drives social engagement or public engagement with a brand on social platforms. Now, in order to interact with the target audience on those social platforms, you need to take a strategic approach of what's driving, right? Not a build it and they will come kind of situation. So really, what drives them to want to share? Now, if you think about your audiences visiting social media networks, I mean, there's a degree in which they interact. When a person likes your Facebook, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually doing anything with it. They just happens to tickle their fancy. But when you think about social media, worldwide, there are over 2.38 billion, that's B, billion, monthly active users as of March 31st, 2019. This is an 8% increase over last year. 1.56 billion people on average, log into Facebook daily and considered active daily users. And 4.75 billion pieces of content are shared daily. And that number is probably up since 2013. On Instagram, 1 billion monthly active users, 500 million daily active users, and 38% check their accounts daily. On Twitter, every second, on average, about 6,000 tweets are tweeted on Twitter, with correspondence to over 350,000 tweets sent per minute, 500 million tweets per day, and around 2 billion tweets per year. Bottom line, lots of opportunity for you to engage with your customers. However, back to my point, what is engagement versus likes and shares? And based, a lot of that is based on what you want your objectives to be. So when we go back to my phase one, we were looking at what drove social media engagement. So the researchers at phase one, we analyzed 22 different brands across 6 different verticals and applied this proprietary methodology of content analysis in order to determine what was driving social media engagement. And looking for the commonalities across most social media brands, the researchers found that social media users convey a particular benefit. And we labeled that the me statement. This is a unique brand benefit that is inherently a social component. And the me statement captures an aspect of a person's idealized self-image that reflects how they want to be perceived by others. So again, the me statement captures an aspect of a person's idealized self-image that reflects how they want to be perceived by others. In a highly social world, then, you think about this, online affiliation with brands sends a message to those consumers about their social media and who they want to be portrayed as. The research we conducted, and which identified, actually very similarly to Jonah, and that people want to share what is a reflection or statement of who they are. So if you want to read more about the me statement, I wrote a 3-part article several years ago, published in Alert Magazine, which was the industry publication for the Marketing Research Association. It was in the July, August, and September issues of 2012, or feel free to email me and I'd be happy to send you those articles. The second factor of his 6 is triggers. You've probably heard a song by Rebecca Black, which has millions of views on YouTube. And again, there are many reasons why it got those views, but one reason is that it has a really good trigger. So if you actually take a look at the stats on YouTube, you'll see that people watch that video, most likely, and it spiked every Friday. Now imagine if the song was about your first day back to school, same amazing lyrics, same great vocals. But if it was really about back to school, you might watch it once, you might watch it maybe a couple weeks after school started. But you certainly wouldn't be watching it month after month or listening to it on Fridays, right? So Friday was a really good trigger because it happens every week. In 2007, Kit Kat sales were declining every year, and they needed an effective campaign. And what they decided to do was link it to coffee. So in all their advertisements, Kit Kat always presented with coffee. Now, someone doesn't understand the powers of triggers might be thinking, well, actually, Kit Kat's hot chocolate makes better sense. That's how I drink my hot chocolate with a Kit Kat. But people don't drink hot chocolate every day. It's not something that's repetitive where coffee is. So that was the reason they wanted to link Kit Kat with something that gets consumed all the time. And yes, it might taste better, as I said, but that's not the point. It's about that repetitiveness. It's about that trigger. That's something you can relate to. Now, interesting, the sales at KitKat had been declining, but 12 months after the campaign launched where they tried it into coffee, sales were actually up by a third. And so the second principle really triggers. Then the idea is people needed to be reminded of your idea or your product, and you can help them by providing a strong trigger. The third principle is emotion. And when people feel strongly about something emotionally, they want to share it. So I think back to Susan Boyle, if you remember. She's performance on British Got Talent. She came out. If you ever watch the YouTube video, that Simon's rolling his eyes. He's thinking to himself, this is not going to be good. And she started singing, and people were enthralled. They got emotionally connected to this woman whose voice didn't sound like the way she looked. So that strong emotion got people happy. They wanted to share. They wanted to talk about that, right? Now, people like to share things where there's an emotion to it. Now, strong emotions are positive, but even anger and anxiety people like to share. What they don't like to share, however, are things about sadness. They don't want to share things that remind them of being sad. But happy, emotional, excited, anxious, angry, yeah, we'll get those shares. That's really important. Now, the fourth principle is public, or what is usually known as social proof. The idea here is that our decisions are affected by whatever else is going around us. You take a look at a car buying behavior, for example. One of the factors that affects us of buying a new car is whether or not our neighbors or community are buying new cars. And if they're all buying new cars, there's much more likely that you will also buy a new car. Now, one of the interesting things we talk about being public was actually Apple. Way back when, the Apple laptops, the Apple insignia on the top of the laptop, when you closed your laptop, faced the user. Made sense, right? And it was a good trigger, really, of how the user knew that they had the laptop pointing the right way because the Apple logo was looking at them. And that was a real convenience. It made it easy. Things were oriented for the user. But the problem is, once the laptop was opened to everybody else, let's say in the coffee shop, in your local Starbucks, the logo was upside down. So Apple had to make a decision whether the owner's convenience was more important than everybody else looking at the laptop, that they actually decided the public image was more important. So the fourth principle then becomes the idea here that people can see what others are doing when it comes to product usage. Now, the fifth principle is practical value. Now, if you can actually offer something that really helps, they're going to want to share it with people that they know. So, for example, one of my ebooks that I developed is an easy way for you to establish a competitive intelligence program. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you know a couple back, I did a show on establishing a competitive intelligence program. It was based on that ebook, and I have seen some downloads, and I appreciate those. And if you're also listening to this show or wanted to go back and listen to that one, I encourage you to download that ebook. And it's been shared many times. And I believe the reason is because it uses a method, a step-by-step process of setting up a successful program. Now, a lot of people might take weeks, even months, of determining how they wanted to set up a program like that. However, because someone shared that and really reinforced the idea that this is a simple way to do things, right? People started sharing it. It maps out that step, helps you get to your goal quicker, and it wasn't involved or very complicated. So there's a practical value in that program. I also have an ebook up there that talks a little bit about storytelling. Okay, I'm going to talk about that is a little bit later in the show. So if you know someone who wants to do something and is struggling with it, of course, you can share it with them, right? Share things that can help better their lives, make things easier. So the fifth principle then really is about practical value. Anytime you can actually help people better their lives, they're going to want to share it with their family and friends. And finally, the sixth principle is stories. So in 2004, in the Olympics, this guy snuck into the diving area and belly flopped in the pool. And he had on his chest, he wore a shirt in the name of the casino on his chest. Now, that was a great story. It got covered by lots of the media, and a lot of people talked about it. But the story, if you will, had nothing to do with the casino. You can tell that story without ever mentioning the casino's name. So the advertisement wasn't very effective. It didn't tell a story. On the other hand, if you're familiar with a company called BlendTech. Now, this is great. If you're not familiar with this company, you've got to go on YouTube and watch these videos. So BlendTech is a blender company, and they made a series of videos called Will It Blend? And they make these videos. They put weird things like a brand new iPhone, and I've seen that one, in their blender, and they blend it into power, showing the power of these blenders. Now, that's a cool story. And if you saw it once, you laugh and you go, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that. And that is something you want to continue to share, right? Because the other interesting part is the product is integral in the story. Unlike the guy who did the belly flopping, you didn't need to know he had a casino. Could have been anything on his chest, could have been nothing on his chest. But in the BlendX story, the blender is an integral part. So when you're thinking about stories and really trying to give a relationship and an understanding, it's important to understand how you tie your product and your usage together so it's memorable and it has recall. Now, I have an ebook, as I mentioned, on the website as well, and it's about storytelling. And I encourage you to download that as well. It talks about a story, how I got started and how I was standing in front of 500 people presenting some industry information to a group of people. They did not want to hear what I had to say. As far as they were concerned, I was an outsider. I didn't know what I was talking about. And I was going to stand up and tell them about their industry. Now, so in that ebook, I talk about that process. And I also provide lots of information, right, back to sharing and being helpful. And I think you'll find in that ebook that it could help shape your ideas and thinking about storytelling. There are plenty of products and ideas that really you can tie into. And I like this book, and I encourage you to take a look at this book. It really boils it down, and I like these six principles that you can really look at. And going back then, so let's recap. Social currency, just sharing the product or idea that makes you look good or makes you look interesting or things that people want to talk about. Triggers. How are you reminded about an idea or a product? What is a good trigger? If you think about semiology, by the way, and we'll just talk about that for a second. If I tell you to visualize a man or a woman in a white coat, I'm betting right now everybody's thinking doctor. Same person in a white coat holding a cat. Now you got a veterinarian. Same person, white coat, with a mixing bowl. Now you got a chef. Right? So you're thinking about what are those triggers? What is symbiology? And if you're not familiar with symbiology, look it up. It's utilizing symbols and visualization to help provide these kinds of triggers. And I think that the simple analogy I just gave really helps when you think about how can you tie these triggers into recall product, right? We've got in the marketing and advertising, we're embedding information into someone's mind, right? We've got short-term memory, we got long-term memory. Well, if you've got a product idea or something embedded in your long-term memory, you're looking for these kinds of triggers to pull it out, to pull and recall that information when it's time. So let's talk about emotion then, right? The number three trigger, number four, three trigger. Feeling strong emotions about something you want to share publicly. Practical value is the fifth. Again, your idea or product that actually is useful and helpful to people. And finally, stories, about how you communicate stories and how you figure out how your product, your idea can become relevant in the story. Not all of these are all tied together. You don't need all six. But again, these are triggers that you can look at when you're developing your messaging and your communications and your visuals and what you're trying to get people to do, how you can get them engaged, and how you can hopefully drive things that are contagious for your business. I want to thank you for joining me at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos, or sign up to receive future information at theponzigroup.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a full-time CEO, but you're CMO, not a CEO, but a CMO, but you're ready, you're not ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me and I'd be welcome to discuss the opportunity and the benefits of working with a fractional CMO. Subscribe to my show at the Business Growth Cafe, or we are on all major podcast platforms, including iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Spreaker, and many others. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.